splendid. If all else fails, call on Johann Sebastian Bach.
Have your voice heard on
well
your community.
Thank you. Thank you. In all sorts of ways, we're delighted now to be able to say we have managed to connect with the fantastic executive director of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. It is the legendary Scott Harrison. Scott, how are you?
I'm great, Alex. How are you? Good morning, or I guess good afternoon, or whatever time it might be for you.
Exactly. Time is just an illusion, Scott, and when you're listening to Johann Sebastian Bach's Concerto in D minor for two, what more can you actually say? It's classic, two violins, strings, and more from that point of view. Scott, we always find with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, it's just got so many magical things working through this, but it seems with Lift Every Voice, there's something even more wonderful that you've put together. If there are folk listening to this who are thinking, oh no, Barack Obama's given such a wonderful final address and it's all going to change in all sorts of ways, worry not, because a three-week citywide series of concerts, conversations and community engagement exploring themes of tolerance, compassion, cooperation, creativity and the power of music to encourage understanding and promote peace is on its way to you, isn't it, Scott?
Yes, and actually, President Obama could not have given us a better introduction, because the themes he talked about in his speech last night, decency and finding commonality and putting ourselves in others' situations and shoes to better understand and empathize with them, those are the themes of this festival, and in particular, the idea of how music and art and culture, but really at the heart of it, music helps bridge and make possible some of those difficult reflections or conversations. I mean, every concert, performance, educational activity, and conversation that's part of this three-week festival is really all about that idea that there's a way that music can lift our spirits, lift our voices, as the project is titled, and help us find something new in ourselves and in others.
And the spiritual notion of music really lifting one's spirits and actually working through that is critical to this whole sort of sequence. I mean, again, I was interested to find that among Lift Every Voice's highlights, we've got the first Los Angeles performance since the 1950s of Kurt Weill's profound anti-apartheid musical Lost in the Stars, which is directed by Anne Bogart, and also Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht's satirical The Seven Deadly Sins is performing there. So you've really pulled out all the stops once again here.
Yeah, and it's interesting. When you mention Lost in the Stars, if folks aren't familiar with the musical or the opera, it sort of shares language from both realms, and it's part of the reason that even though it's a wonderful piece, it doesn't always get performed because it's hard to pigeonhole it into which category it belongs. But folks are probably familiar with the novel Cry the Beloved Country by Alan Paton, and that is the work on which Lost in the Stars is based, and so it's like you say, it's an incredible, powerful story. It's set in early apartheid South Africa, but it frankly speaks to us with incredible visceral power today. I mean, its themes are just as potent and just as important and critical in the current day and age.
Natasha, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, music certainly is a healing tool. I think that that's wonderful and soothing. Do you have a particular favorite that you're going to be playing over the course other than the stars, or are you just... You like all of them?
Well, in a way, it's hard to choose a favorite, but I'm particularly looking forward to The Seven Deadly Sins, Kurt Weill's sort of one-woman masterpiece, that Storm Large, the incredible, hard to describe, but just incredible chanteuse is going to sing. So The Seven Deadly Sins with Storm Large and the orchestra on January 21st and 22nd, I think that's going to be a really powerful highlight. And that piece in particular is interesting because it kind of tells about the tug between the city and the country and sort of the morality of those two different worlds and how they collide in different ways.
Given that Zion FM is based within the University of Lincoln in England, it's nice to see that in collaboration with UCLA, the University of California and Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra is also presenting Championing Civil Rights and Resisting Injustice with Rabbi Joachim Prince and Kurt Weill. A free, thought-provoking symposium featuring Prince's son, Jonathan Prince, scholars and musicians, that explores Berlin and the German Jewish cultural milieu that informed both their work and also galvanized their activism. That's on Sunday, January the 22nd. Astonishingly, we won't be able to get the private jet to get over there then, but for our Los Angeles correspondents, it's must attend. I think Phil Leonis, if he's back from the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, I think there's a definite sort of key thing from that perspective. Ben Lewis, from your own perspective, we're looking at making great music personal on the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra website. Any questions that you've got for Scott?
Yeah, with general music, how do you feel people's emotions come through it? Do you feel like it's a good way to people to express themselves, or do you feel people can sort of relate to it, or even just use it as a method to sort of de-stress, or even, you know, in their own way make it useful for themselves? If that makes sense as a question.
It does, Ben. It's a great question, and it's a hard one to answer, partially because, at least in my experience, it operates in different ways for different people. I mean, of course, if you're actually in the act of performing and creating the music, that brings into it a whole sort of set of emotions and sort of your ability to channel your feelings through the music. And so in some part, we're celebrating the composers and the performers themselves who are using the music as a vehicle to express their ideas, but we are trying to go to that next level of how the audience that's receiving the music and participating in the concert, how they're interacting and coming away from it. And I guess to speak about a personal experience, just this weekend I was sitting in rehearsal for the opening event of the festival. It's a free community concert where a group of Laco musicians will partner with the young musicians of the Inner City Youth Orchestra of Los Angeles, an orchestra that primarily is made of African-American youth from the neighborhoods kind of known as South Central in Los Angeles. And at this rehearsal, they were performing, working on the musical setting of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech that they're going to be performing. And even in that rehearsal, sort of the rush of emotions that were coming through my head and the connections I was making as I was sort of thinking about his speech and just having the music swelling crescendo around me, it allowed me to sort of engage and interact in a very private but also kind of public, because there were other people around me, in a very special space around what that speech meant. And again, like, the theme of the whole festival is how its words are just as important and just as needed today. Like, we've made a lot of progress in 50 years, but gosh, we've got a lot of progress still to go. And hearing it musically, as opposed to just sort of interacting with it intellectually, made it that much more real for me.
Thanks to the fabulous work of Libby Hubner and Laura, of course. They sent over some recordings from 2003, which they thought were particularly appropriate. We heard an initial sort of insert there from Johann Sebastian Bach's work. It's featuring Jeffrey Kahane, of course, conducting Hilary Hahn and the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra's concertmaster, Margaret Batcher, on violin. If you'd be kind enough to stay with us, Scott, we'll come back to you with details of how people can actually attend these events, how they can sign up, get tickets for them, and so on and so forth. After, I think, a little smidgen of Johann Sebastian Bach's Concerto in D minor, as we mentioned, for two violins, strings, and more. And let's just put it to the test, really. Let's see if we do feel as though this is a de-stressful moment. Thank you. would have been criminal to have actually talked over any of that, so we didn't. We thought it was very important that the whole message was put together. Talking to the chief executive operating Soul and the chief executive behind the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, Scott, presumably every day must be a joyous day when you step through the threshold and think, gosh, I've got some great teams, players and musicians working in this area.
Oh, yeah, it's a fantastic organization, not just the folks behind the scenes, but what makes LACO so special, like you mentioned, is this core group of 40 musicians who are virtuosos in their own right. I mean, one of the most talented and diverse group of musicians you'll ever come across. They're the folks who perform on all the Hollywood scores and soundtracks that you're used to, from Star Wars, Rogue One, to whatever it might be, and they're fantastic classical musicians, and they bring that sort of world experience and that diversity of musical experience into everything they do. And I think it's one of the reasons that we found success in programs that push boundaries and encourage different ways of thinking and try and step out of traditional boxes. It really all starts with them, and at least for the last 20 years with Jeffrey Gahane, our music director, who is stepping down from that post at the end of this season after 20 years, and who is the vision and the dreamer behind what this Lift Every Voice Festival is and has become.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because clearly you and Jeffrey is going to leave a heck of a legacy there. Ben, you were saying, of course, the movies, the music and so on, a very important part of the whole experience.
Yeah, I was sort of discussing just off there quite quickly that we were saying, in particular, when it comes to films, it's sort of almost, music almost dictates your emotions whilst watching the film, although the visual does quite a lot of that anyway. Same particularly if there's a sad scene, if you actually pay attention, you'll notice the music goes down, or it sort of dictates how you're supposed to feel, how the film was made, and I find that quite fascinating. Or if there's going to be a jumpy moment, the music sort of falls silent or there's a sort of a heartbeat, or
when it works, it's absolutely perfect, which is why La La Land presumably did so well in so many ways. But that's another issue entirely. Scott, laco.org is the go-to website to find all manner of marvellous details about upcoming events and so on, including this coming Saturday, the 14th of January, the annual Martin Luther King Jr. Day concert, which is always a wonderful thing at the West Angeles Church. Would you like to highlight a couple of key things and say how people can get in touch with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra if they're in Los Angeles listening to this via podcast or indeed live in the morning? It's going to be a splendid Wednesday. I know it is. It's only coming up to 17 minutes past 10 o'clock in the morning. It's great stuff there. We've already lived through that. What's the best way to get in touch with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra? Scott?
Well, Alex, you said the best way. That's the website, LACO, LACO.org. But you can also call us at 213-622-7001, extension 1, and speak to Coleman and Olivia in the box office. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, and Instagram. We're active on all of them. But yeah, as Alex said, the festival kicks off this Saturday, January 14th. That concert at West Angeles Church is free, so just show up. Just find it on the website and just show up, and we want you to be there. And all the way through to the last event, Lost in the Stars, on January 28th and 29th. All the information's on the website, laco.org.
Scott, absolutely delightful. I'm going to ask Natasha to put those last two questions to you. Go, Natasha.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us?
Yes, I have, immensely.
Wonderful. And can we hope to hear from you again soon?
Well, of course, anytime. I love the midweek drive, and I'll come back anytime to talk about LACO or just anything else that's on your mind.
A round of applause for Scott Harrison, please. Yay!
Thank you.
Finger on the pulse for the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra.
Last train in motion. Can't believe that it's true. In the sunshine, our minds are playing, making me cry. At the next stop, from nowhere to outdo. In the raindrops, our minds are playing, making me sad. Maybe we can start over. Maybe we can find something brand new. Shooting stars, she's making out on the moonlight. I know.
Often ask where Sarah D is from, and they don't believe her when she tells them. Sarah is a very well-travelled individual and lived in many places. Harrogate, London, Liverpool, Bournemouth, to name a few. In fact, it's been said to be the many accents of Sarah D, depending on who she's speaking to. So, what sort of accent will Sarah D have for us? Sarah? What sort of accent?
Hello.
It sounds to me as though it's quite clearly Australian. Sarah, obviously we played the wonderful Lost in the first part of the programme, as you may have heard. Graham Harper, full thumbs up there. He was very excited by that whole sequence. Ben, not so much. You know,
I still enjoyed it, thank you.
We thought there was a connection with Amy Winehouse that was nicely put together from that point of view. Once Natasha realised who Amy Winehouse actually was.
Yeah.
Natasha, questions you'd like to put to Sarah D, Northern Girl at Heart, grown up in County Durham, dancing from the age of 5 and joining in many youth theatre groups.
Yeah, so was it from sort of a very young age that you got into singing, or was it dancing first and then singing you sort of discovered after that?
Well, I danced from the age of 5 and then kind of went to stage school and started to sing a bit more, and then I went to college in Liverpool for 3 years and studied musical theatre. So then obviously I sang a lot more and then kind of went with the singing more than the dancing, and the older I'm getting, the more singing I'm doing and the less dancing I'm doing. Yeah.
And of course retro modelling as well. Have you specifically gone for the La La Land look, or is it something which is just a happy circumstance really?
I actually really like kind of the 50s style, like the retro look, so that kind of helped me decide what kind of artist I would be along the way as well. So it's something that I feel comfortable in, because you can't do something that you're not comfortable in. So to be the artist that I wanted to be, I kind of went with the retro look and feel of my music as well, yeah.
Okay. So Ben, questions from yourself.
Yeah, what are your biggest influences, Sarah?
My biggest influence, obviously Amy Winehouse, a big influence within that song as well. I also really look up to Adele. I mean, millions of records sold and everything. I also really like the Overtones as well. And I've actually had the pleasure of meeting them and looking after them as well, where I used to work. So they're kind of my influences, really, yeah.
And as we said, 500 downloads. It's just chicken feed, etc. What is the purpose of how people can, if they're listening to Lost on Siren today, and obviously our sister station Southside Broadcasting as well, what are we looking for? What's the rationale behind writing that very polite email to me, which was very impressive? You know, got an instant response almost, really. So here we are. So what's it all about?
What's it all about? Basically, I started auditioning just as I would within the industry, cruise ships, different things, and kind of came across this recording contract and ended up getting it. So basically, it's kind of a trial period, finding out what kind of artist I am and that type of thing, and bringing out 3 singles within the year. So I'll be obviously starting to record my next single the 22nd of February, and then that'll be kind of out March, April time. And then the next one I'll record 3 or 4 months after that as well. And it's kind of just to see where I sit in the industry and if people are going to like my music, if they're going to buy it. So basically, I've been set the challenge of selling 500 downloads or more. And then we kind of move it up a gear. And then it'll be albums, festivals, that kind of thing.
Works for me. And Lost, presumably nothing to do with the J.J. Abrams series of the early noughties.
No,
exactly. It could have been. You could have been on a desert island and you could have had all sorts of things and then realised that you actually died and all sorts of things. It's different thing entirely. Lost, of course, is available. Best way in which people can actually find this, Sarah, what's the best way forward? Is it going to your website, which of course is sarahd.co.uk, or is there another route?
You can find it on iTunes, and you can also buy it and download it on Amazon as well. That's probably the best route. I have got a link on my my website, but you're probably better off. Or you can find me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Sarah D Artist.
There we are. Sarah, have you enjoyed your debut on the Midweek Drive today? Has it been okay for you?
I have, very much, thank you.
So will you be returning, as you said, we raise those levels a wee bit higher, will you actually return, I don't know, probably before the spring or sometime in a couple of months' time to let us know how things are going and so on? Will you be back with us?
I will be, yes.
Then
yes,
let's give Sarah D a round of applause.
Yay! Thank you.
You got the invitation, you got the right address. You need some medication, the answer's always yes. A little chance encounter could be the one you've waited for. Just squeeze a bit more. Tonight we're on a mission. Tonight's the casting call. If this is the real audition,
oh God, help us all.
You make the right impression, then everybody knows your name. We're in the fast lane.
This is the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Big finish always important, isn't it, Sarah Huntley?
pictures indeed.
Emma Stone and Kelly Hernandez, they're two of the fine folk. Somewhere in the crowd from La La Land, the award-winning La La Land. Outstanding little musical, which is released this week and well worth accessing. So, Sarah, so much to fit in. We still got to play Katie Grimason, her Oasis tune, which she requested via text to celebrate one English year that she's been working at her Bowler company as a search engine optimizer. Wonderful. So there we are.
Wow. See,
yeah, I know. Very impressive. So we haven't forgotten Katie. We'll squeeze it in, assuming Phil Learness will allow. That's the important thing from that point of view. Sarah Huntley, what have you been doing recently? What's life like in Wimbledon?
Well, I've just returned from Cornwall, actually, today. Mm-hmm. Just in the nick of time to speak to you all. I did the camel trail while I was in Cornwall, which wasn't on a camel. It was doing the cycling ride, and my knees almost gave out. But I managed to get 20 miles in, so this is my... And I'm off to Zumba in a minute. I'm trying to...
You're a Zumba girl. I didn't realise you were a Zumba person. How long has this been going on for, Sarah? You know, this means I have to take the script and just go, you know, rip the whole thing up now if you're into Zumba, for goodness sakes.
Zumba. So, yes, I'm off to do it. I don't want to because it's a bit cold.
Yes, exactly. You can't do Zumba in the cold in Wimbledon. It's just not right.
Oh, but it's a bit nippy, but I'm going to make myself do it. And I've been, actually, I might have got a few link-ups for us down from the south with people like... Kim Vine.
Yeah.
I've been doing some work on, you know, when you see these vox pops for the theatres with pantomimes and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I was doing, I'll rephrase that.
It's Tim Vine, you can do him, he's a Sutton United supporter, let it go.
Oh, is that okay? Mm. Oh, well, he was just superb. Mm. The wit of that man is fantastic.
It's all down to his brother Jeremy, you see.
You think so? Exactly. I think it's an awful lot of fun. So I've been doing some vox pops for when you click on and you say, come and see the show, what's it like? So that's what I've just been doing before Christmas. And I'm about to start back on the old Lambda spiel again as of tomorrow. But I've been doing quite a lot of work with certain telephone companies.
Yes, that's okay. And that's the joy of a jobbing actress, which astonishingly, Sarah, even though we've just come from Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra and Sarah Dee in the Northeast and Graham Harper and Cameron Tilbury in Nashville, Anna Lewis, we just couldn't get through. No worries. Natasha.
Oh, really? Oh, well, I could have a word with them that knows, you know.
Very much so. Would you like to put those last two questions to Sarah Huntley, please?
Have you enjoyed your very brief telephonic link with us this evening?
I have, it just all went so quickly.
It's been whoosh. You know, but you see, Phil Learness has got his people, we've got our people, we've got Katie Grimmison's Oasis track.
Could I come back for another fix, do you think, at some point?
What about next week, Sarah?
Oh, I'd love it. Quarter past six?
Next Wednesday. We're there about, we'll get that sorted. You will be with us.
Same time, same place.
Exactly.
Yeah. On you go. Happy New Year.
Hey there, everybody. I'm filmmaker, podcaster, California State Certified Violence Prevention Specialist, and podiatrist to the stars, Phil Lernis. And I've been proud to be a U.S. cultural correspondent for Alex Lefchuk's Midweek Drive program for many years now. And I congratulate you, dear listener, on having found this oasis of podcast audio magic in the cosmos. Or on your internet-equipped mobile device. Or your computer. Or...
Katie Grimason.
She graduated.
Oh, good for her.
It's all right, Katie. We'll play your Oasis, probably as a music bed for Phil Linus. How are you, Phil?
I'm doing excellent, Alex Lefchuk. Happy 2017 to your good self.
It's a whole new season, a whole new series of delightful shows, but with the same substantial quality writ large, as I'd often say with respect to Phil Lernis, mostly known for Chilpack Hollywood and, of course, his legendary work as a director and a key component of the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. There we are.
And, of course, as you introduced me, it's certainly a case of out with the old and in with the old.
Well, dynamic duo in the studio, as you may have gathered. We have Ben, we have Natasha. The rest of the team haven't managed to sort of decide whether they're coming, they're going. Technically, they don't have to be here. Natasha will be here next week. She'll be out and about. What will you be doing next week, Natasha?
I'm on work experience with my local paper next week, so unfortunately I can't make it.
Would you like to give a name check to your local paper that you'll be work experiencing with?
The New York Advertiser.
There we are. And that's all we need to know. And Ben, who will he be here next week?
I should be here next week, yes.
Splendid. And now Andre. No, it's Arthur Weingarten who's actually on next week. Anyway, Phil, enough of such stuff. Ben, would you like to quiz Phil on...
Would you like to give Phil those last two questions?
Phil, please, I'm working on getting Oasis and Live Forever all set up for Katie in the background here, because I had to calculate that. She specifically sent me a text saying, can you please play it for me? I will be listening. So I said, of course I will. It's what we do. Anyway, carry on, Ben.
Phil, what have you been doing lately? What have you been doing over the Christmas period? Have you been up to anything interesting at all?
Oh, it's been a busy time. Writing narration for the sequel to my documentary, The Truth Is Out There. Working on bringing my most recent feature, The Lady Killers, to audiences, budgeting my next feature film, so much going on, preparing things for the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, and performing one day only in an Equity musical on New Year's Day. So it's been a busy time, as I hear Oasis coming in the background. Mm-hmm. Certainly a palate cleanser off the execrable two songs you chose to play from La La Land. Oh, man, you pick the worst two songs from the 20 minutes of the movie that are dreadful. Sitting through that movie, I was going, oh, my God, this is really bad, this movie. And then after 20 minutes, thank goodness it gets good. But those first two numbers are ridiculous.
Okay, then, Little Blast of Oasis, then we'll be back with you. In fact, Phil, would you like to dedicate this to Katie Grimmison yourself? Go, Phil.
As I do with everything in my life, I dedicate this to the one, the only, Katie Grimmison.
She's been at Bowler Hat for a year now. Happy anniversary to Katie for 1 year at Bowler Hat. Thank you. Okay, Phil, how much of the programme have you managed to catch today? Or was it a case of you just caught Scott Harrison and said, I must check out the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra? Was it Sarah D, of course, or a songstress? Or was it just the wit and wisdom of Natasha and Ben that has caught your ear over the first official Midweek Drive after what I refer to as the celebrity death special of Chilpatrick Hollywood?
So many
Zsa Zsa Gabor, Richard Adams. There's so many there. Amazing.
Well, I have listened to the show, while at the same time, it's been a big morning here in the United States because we had our first press conference from our president-elect, Mr. Trump. Believe it or not, the first press conference he's had not only since getting elected, but since July. We elected a man who refuses to take questions from the press. In fact, refused again today to take any questions from CNN. Anyway, so it's been a fascinating morning. But I wanted to mention a story. I saved it for you and for this program. I didn't talk about it on Chilpatrick Hollywood Hour when we were remembering George Michael. And it's actually my favorite story involving George Michael. And it's a story about the Smiths, Morrissey's band, the Smiths, and their song Panic, which, of course, most people will remember when they hear the refrain, hang the DJ, hang the DJ, hang the DJ.
Panic on the streets of London. Panic on the streets of
Panic
London.
Panic on the streets of London. Exactly. Burn down the disco, hang the blessed DJ, because the music that they constantly play, it says nothing to me about my life. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And we know that the inspiration, do we not, for this song is Chernobyl 2 years prior, when the Chernobyl disaster led to this radioactive cloud. And the fear was that this cloud was going to sweep across Europe. And Morrissey was listening to the radio as a radio presenter, perhaps a young Alex Levchuk, I'm not sure who it was, but a radio presenter announced that the Chernobyl death cloud was expected to hit England within a matter of days. And the DJ followed that stark pronouncement up by saying, and now, the new single from Wham!
Exactly.
And so that's what inspired this rant about how the popular music of the time didn't speak to people about their lives. And I don't think it's music now. I think it's just the media itself that rarely seems to speak to people about their lives. And it's a failing in the media that is brought out to me in stark contrast in a 12-hour span where we get to see the very eloquent closing remarks of a president and the temper tantrum that was a first press conference from an incoming president. I think it is beholden upon all of us, whether we host a Midweek Drive or whether we host a podcast and make movies, to try to engage in conversation that does say something to people about their lives.
You've raised a very important point from that point of view, and let's just have a little sample of President Obama's, or ex-President Obama, of course, his final farewell, really. It's something which I thought was particularly apt, and we may well talk about in communications in the public sphere after, of course.
For too many of us, it's become safer to retreat into our own bubbles, whether in our neighborhoods or on college campuses or places of worship or especially our social media feeds. Surrounded by people who look like us and share the same political outlook and never challenge our assumptions. And the rise of naked partisanship and increasing economic and regional stratification, the splintering of our media into a channel for every taste. All this makes this great sorting seem natural, even inevitable. And increasingly, we become so secure in our bubbles that we start accepting only information, whether it's true or not, that fits our opinions, instead of basing our opinions on the evidence that is out there.
Which may well be sage words of wisdom. What do you think, Ben?
I think that's very, very true. I think he's correct.
Natasha?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some truth in that. Phil, would you say, I know you mentioned that you think that the media is kind of out of touch with potentially our lives and that sort of thing, but do you think that maybe we're out of touch with what we should know and that they're actually just feeding what we think we want?
Well, that would mean, therefore, of course they are. And that would mean that they are failing in their responsibility. Look, we as storytellers, whether it be in fiction or in nonfiction, you know, our responsibility is to connect with something authentic and to reveal authentic truths, not to couch those truths in what we think people want to see or want to hear, not in some sort of sense of comforting them, not in some sense of diverting them from life, but enriching that life by hopefully connecting with something that will remind us all that life itself, this great struggle to find out what it means to be human, is worth striving for. And when you start to try to appeal to an audience, you are letting that audience down, and we don't get the media, the news, the stories that we need. We simply get what we deserve. So our part of it as an audience is we have to demand better, of course, and we have to put our energy and our time and our money towards those things that really do nourish us. So that's the two-way street of it. I, you know, have been thinking a lot about La La Land and how it is it's going to win Best Picture, and I knew it was going to win Best Picture the moment I saw it, because it is that courageous film that talks about the heroism of actors, and Hollywood always embraces any films that talks about the heroism of show people. For example, Argo, which won Best Picture a few years ago. What's that story about? It's about how show business people helped rescue hostages. So we love embracing how noble we ourselves are in this town. And it's, I can already anticipate years from now, the way we look back in the 90s and we go, what, Forrest Gump, Titanic, Braveheart, these movies won Best Picture? Not only are they hard to watch now,
oh,
it's almost
now.
Stunning.
Come now, Phil.
Well, no, this is not me saying it. There was a poll.
Lack of box of chocolates. You never quite know what you're going to get.
There was a poll recently of worst movies of the 90s, and these are three of the movies on the worst films, and yet they won Best Picture. And the point that I'm making is not that the people were wrong then, but that there is a certain degree to which, back to the question, that those of us in the entertainment industry are ourselves out of touch. I won't speak for films from other shores, though I think that it's probably to a degree true there as well. But in the U.S., all the best films this year dealt with grief, isolation, or race and class relations, or both. And, of course, in a year where the best film deal with those issues that are so prescient to life in America right now, of course, Best Picture is going to go to a frothy musical about attractive young dreamers making it big in Hollywood.
We will take this up with Richard Fitzwilliams.
Now, wait. Yes, you will. Okay. And I don't mean to say that it's a bad movie. And to its credit, it isn't mere fantasy. La La Land does deal with the very real issue of what you have to sacrifice to become the person that you want to become. And that is a noble theme. So I don't mean to be throwing this movie under the bus. I just do think that back to this theme, it's when the Academy gives it Best Picture, it will smack a little bit of being out of touch.
Okay.
In the wake of all the great films like Moonlight,
it's got Gwen Stacy from The Amazing Spider-Man saying...
Two options. You either follow my rules or follow my rules. Capisce?
Thank you.
I can do it a different way.
No, that's fine. Thank you very much.
And what's not to love about that, Phil? You know, just the...
Well, because musicals are the fantasy equivalent of... I mean, they're equal to comic book fantasies. You know, they're banal, childish fantasies.
Oh, come now. Natasha, you're not going to sit there and take that, are you? Banal, childish fantasies? Sorry, Phil. Sometimes we just thought we're going so far down the line with respect to...
I can't comment.
Looking
speechless.
Forward to Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It's going to be the movie that sort of connects both Russia and America in a nice, friendly way. Very good.
We're already connected that way because we have we have very high-ranking Russian officials the incoming cabinet
exactly,
now.
You know,
in
хорошо, so очень хорошо. You know, товарищ Трамп. Fantastic. Great stuff.
You know, the head of ExxonMobil is about to become our Secretary of State?
Yeah, well, you know, he's always good for, you know, fuel and the planet and various other sort of factors.
Exactly.
Now, these are the kind of things which, again, people will look back on and say, what a wonderful time the year 2017 is proving to be, really, and the four magical years that were faced up with the whole process. Natasha, you get the chance to actually make that selection between 2 and 27 for the first edition of the Midweek Drive for 2017.
Can I have 19, please?
Of course you can, and here it comes.
Have I ever told you about the law of relevance? It goes like this. No matter how scared or tired or ill you are, no matter how lost or confused or desperate you become, no matter how lonely, depressed, or cranky you feel, if you just do what you can with what you have, from right where you are, it'll always be enough. Pretty good odds, huh? Your legal beagle, the universe.
See, not even a creepy PS there. Legal beagle. It's very important.
I think it's very good words to start the year with.
Exactly. I always know the universe will not let you down, even though you might sort of be debating the whole notion of graphic narratives and so on. This is probably one of the reasons why, Phil, when we're looking at a new series of The Culture Shapers and Culture Makers, either title is relevant, we'll be looking at things like Singing in the Rain and The Searchers as opposed to Suicide Squad. That's amazing.
Well, no. But, you know, you've heard me say this before in our show, that I think comic book movies, superhero movies, are the modern equivalent to the Western. So when you say The Searchers instead of, because Westerns for so many people, right, were, again, childish fantasies. But in the hands of master storytellers, just like with comic book movies today, the Western would use that veneer of fantasy and beneath it get away with incredibly rich, detailed thematic explorations that were nothing less than about the individual's place in society or the individual versus society. And I believe that many comic book movies are very slyly subversive to this day. They're using that level of fantasy and they're belying it. They're going beneath it because there's very talented people making some of these movies. So don't say instead of. We may even talk about a Guardians of the Galaxy while discussing The Searchers, because I think they're apt comparisons.
It's fair to say that Natasha is more Marvel than DC.
Yes.
So there we are.
Yeah.
So, Ben, on that particularly startling note, which just allows us time to actually say that Michael Barwise, I don't think, will be having a musical madness, because I haven't actually seen any Michael Barwise musical madness around. Have you seen him in the...
I think he's in Cumbria.
Oh, right. So he's got to get into the jet and scoot along here to actually have a musical madness session. So great music will follow you through until Word Perfect comes along at 8 o'clock, followed by Citadel Central. Citadel Central, that's for Siren FM. Listeners across the globe. Alternatively, you could just listen to chillpackhollywood.co.uk or .com, rather, chillpackhollywood.com back issues for the last 9 years or so. They've been going through the whole process.
Issues. That's true. We now have been turning the show into magazine articles.
Exactly.
So I do like them being issues.
Referred to as issues on that basis. Thanks to Camo from Nashville, who, of course, launched the show with a pretty good tune overall. Yeah, it's very good. Yeah. Graham, you can hear it again tomorrow morning, or indeed just play the podcast back. Graham Harper, of course, from Inside Number 9. Alan Stevens and Professor Fiona Moore. We still didn't talk about Westworld. I'm sure it'll happen.
Oh, I want to talk about Westworld. Oh.
It's so much nudity, so little time. Never mind. Scott,
these violent delights will have violent ends.
Yes, exactly. Delos, it's so different to Yul Brynner's heyday. Scott Harrison.
He's in it, though.
Have you seen it?
He has a cameo in it, so anyway.
Bit like Peter Cushing. And in fact, I was surprised on Chillpack Hollywood that you didn't mention the most profound moment in which the late, great Carrie Fisher has the final scene in Rogue One. Genius.
Well, it's... an awful decision. It was an awful decision, but the Peter Cushing, that was genius. And indeed, there's an entire letter that deals with it that we will discuss. But we need people to stop dying so that we have enough time to talk about the living.
If you're thinking of popping your clogs this week, giving up on the oxygen habit, checking in the Warden Waldorf, don't. We need time to actually ensure, particularly if you're a celebrity. Obviously, if you're a normal person, you can beg out quite happily. But if what's he saying? The news is coming up very, very shortly. We've got every little thing she does in Magic by the Police. Go on, you kept the theme going. Ben's going to be following in your footsteps tomorrow morning. So, Natasha, would you like to put those last two questions to Phil Dinas, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us?
I've loved it, and as I said to Alex, thank you for playing me in with A Little Luck by Paul McCartney, because when I was a kid, it was the only time I was ever allowed to curse was singing along to the lyrics of that song.
And there you have it. Ben, have you enjoyed the program?
Yes, I have. Very much. Thank you.
Back tomorrow for our supermarket nightwear stirring things.
And the competition.
And the competition and the heaps of other good things. Stay tuned to Lincoln's first community radio station, Siren FM. That's it. A 1, 2, 3 farewell. Au revoir. As they say in the White House, das vidanya. After 3, 1, 2, 3.
Das vidanya.
Goodbye.
Bye. I got so confused.